Hey, what up, y'all? This is Astral Dim laying in my bed because you know it's my bed in astrology. Boop 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 boop. How you guys doing today? Sorry for the noise in the background, by the way. I'm charging my phone. My phone's low-key tripping. And I'm talking on my phone because I use Anchor. So if you're interested in opening a podcast, use the Anchor app. I think it's awesome. I like it. I've been using it throughout this whole podcast. So that's what I suggest, okay? But let's go ahead and talk about this eclipse that's happening, child. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Okay. We're having a solar eclipse, which is basically a fancy new moon in Sagittarius. The eclipse is happening tomorrow, the 14th, December 14th at 11:18 a.m. or 11:19, and specifically at 23 degrees Sag, 23 degrees, 8 minutes of Sag, okay? So this is the third decan solar eclipse, sorry. And so, you know, I'm going to go through the typical things that I go through when I talk about transits and stuff, especially the eclipse. And yeah, we're just going to chat it up about that. And yeah, that's how we're going to go and handle this situation, okay? So, let's talk about this special new moon. So what is the new moon, right? The new moon is when the sun and the moon conjunct. They're in the same sign, same degree, all that, all right? However, when every new moon, which is like, you know, it happens every month, sometimes twice a month, depending on the month, depending on the year. That's what blue moons come from. But anyways, the sun and the moon will be at the same area, but not aligned, right? And so, like, the sun will be higher, the moon will be lower. The moon will be lower, the sun will be higher, you know, vice versa, whatever, right? But the things that make a solar eclipse special is that this energy is actually aligned. And so what's happening during a solar eclipse is that the moon is actually blocking the sun. Okay, now think about it though. The moon is a new moon, and so the earth's shadow is also blocking the moon, so it's just complete darkness that's happening here. And what I definitely suggest on a astrological and spiritual vibe is for people to not really do any energy work at this time. Both of our luminary energy are blocked. Even if we don't see it, even in our advantage, our earthly advantage, we can't see what's happening, it's still happening somewhere on earth. So the whole earth is being affected, okay? So unless you are, you know, equipped, when I say equipped, I mean like you, you know how to handle this type of energy, you know, are, you know, well-trained, well-aware, and you are like, even if your ancestors just tell you, yeah, work on this energy, highly elevated and benevolent, benevolent ancestors, unless they tell you to go ahead and work with this energy, don't do it. Because this is not for the faint of heart. This is like some huge transformative energy. And it will like make things very harsh. All right. So I just want you to be aware of that. But that's what it is astronomically and astrologically. Okay. With this specific new moon, though, you know, because it is a solar eclipse, though, it's really, really important. And overall, astrologically, though, I do want to say that in every new moon, whether it's a solar eclipse or not, at this time, we are reviewing our self-expression by getting more into our emotions. You know, so it's a time of rest for sure. We are under when the sun and the moon are aligned like that, our subconscious reactions, you know, they are become our conscious reactions, right? You know, subconscious is the moon, conscious actions is the sun. And so however we feel, we react. There's no like direct processing like we typically go then do. You know, we feel it, we react, we in a conscious way, you know. And so, or we consciously react to our subconscious directly. You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's, the energy's real. This is why people say it's a potent time to, you know, manifest typically during new moons. But I think because both of the, our luminaries are blocked and, you know, we manifest through the energy of the sun and the moon. You know, these are the things that we, that gives us light, that gives us understanding. I think this is time for us to chill personally, unless you are called to work during these times. Okay. Now that's the thing. Some people are, some people like really got that juice, got the calling to work on it. Others don't though. So, you know, if you are questioning it, or if you're like, oh, let me try, like, think about it, okay? Okay, so what does this specific new moon mean? I'm sorry, I don't know. There has to be some solar storms, because I just cannot talk. It feels like it's a Mercury retrograde, damn near. And it could be because it's the eclipse season, and like, we just had that lunar eclipse in Gemini, and, you know, Mercury's in Sag, and so, you know, Mercury and Sag, that's where it falls, or depressed. I always get them two mixed up, so you get what I'm saying. So, like, you know, it could be that. It really could. But my God, like, it feels like solar storm, Mercury retrograde type of vibes, where I just cannot talk. And, like, my electricity keeps fucking up, and my day-to-day stuff keeps getting, like, bombarded. It's fucking crazy, but let's keep it going. What does this new moon mean? So, internally and externally, we are getting more in tune with our adventurous side, allowing our passion to lead us, and just what is going on with my phone? I'm so sorry. I wrote this down. I wrote it down so nicely too. So hold on one second, guys. Okay, so I'm back at it. Okay, so again, what does this new moon mean? Internally and externally, we are getting more in tune with our adventurous side, allowing our passion to just lead us, and just doing instead of thinking about it, and worrying about what others think. We're just doing what we want to do. And that goes for anything, but especially Sag themed things, such as philosophies, beliefs, ideas, cultures, and things like that. But yeah, overall, we're just getting more in tune with our adventurous side. Now, I do want to mention this. The energy, this solar eclipse energy, is conjunct South Node. So we need to do this to tie up some karmic stuff. And to resolve it the fuck ASAP. You get what I'm saying? We are understanding our passionate and adventurous side, and our motivated side of just wanting to do and taking action and just going for it. And kind of understanding our passionate intuition, because that's our past life selves and our karmic influence pushing us to resolve some things from our past lives. Okay, I can even say to myself, like, I've been really thinking about my karmic debt numbers. I've been really thinking about my past life self just naturally. And, like, now I'm thinking about, I'm like, well, of course, because this eclipse is conjunct South Node. It makes total sense. And so I think that's what we're like, kind of focusing on and reflecting on. And, this is the type of vibe that we're in right now. So it's definitely something that you guys should consider and focus on as a learning opportunity and lesson, and for you to tie out some things that no longer serve you, and for you to kind of get your karmic comeuppings. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's the best way to fucking say it. Shit. This new moon, solar eclipse, is actually in the third decan of Sagittarius. And the third decan of Sagittarius is ruled by like the Sun Leo energy vibe. So we're being quite self-expressive in this energy of, you know, going after for what we want, but we're being expressive when it comes to going after what we want and being adventurous too. And just going through our process of, you know, fucking with that energy, honestly. It's kind of tricky though. Like, I do want you guys to be careful. There is like a T-square happening with the solar eclipse that I'm kind of like, about, you know? And kind of just doing because you feel like it, because you want to, because you want the adventure, you know, that can be, you know, not the safest energy. I mean, we're going to talk about it more when we talk about the aspects. But I feel like it's needed. And I feel like what we can do too, it's just really important. What we can do too, and I actually want to talk about this more when I talk about the conjunction of this eclipse to South Node, but hey, it's whatever. What we can do is we could literally feel that motivation, that drive, that fire within us, and use it as an intuitive tool, but then try to apply some practicality to it. Do you get what I'm saying? So sorry for the noise in the background. Okay, so yeah, that's what we could do, okay? Oh my gosh. Sorry, guys. Sorry. So anyways, like I was saying, you know, we can apply some logic, but more so than anything, practicality. But I will speak on that, you know, with my gang, actually. To my gang. My gang. Yeah, because I don't talk about my interpretations of aspect patterns to the public, only to the cosmic gang. If you want to join, go to astrodim.space and go to memberships, and you can become a member, but you have to pay. So that $0 membership, all that gives you is the ability to comment on my blogs and stuff. But if you end up you know, paying monthly for the sums, for the information, you know, you get to have all that info. So just wanted to add that there. But anyways, that's what I kind of feel like. If you kind of use that energy of, come on, I have to go, I have to do it, let me try it, let me go for it, right? But then pause and really see, like, why do I have to do this? Is this something that's deep within my subconscious? Is this something that's a karmic influence? Is this something in my past life that I have to resolve? Is this why I'm doing this? You know what I mean? If you kind of do that reflecting thing, I think that will work to your best benefit. You know what I'm saying? However, like I said before, this is like third decant energy, and so this is more so some more advanced type of energy of the advanced Sagittarius, and I think that's why, you know, this eclipse is actually connected to, you know, one of the advice cards for Sagittarius tarot wise. And I know you're like, what? But we'll talk about that in a few. So let's talk about the numbers connected to this eclipse. So this eclipse is at 23 degrees Sagittarius. 2 + 3 = 5. And so 5 is very prominent within this energy. If you kind of understand 5 numerology wise, you know, this energy is very similar to Sag, of like, you know, trying things, jumping towards things, being interested and going for it. 5 is actually my soul urge number as well as my personality number. So I'm well acquainted with the 5 energy and numerology. It's kind of like having fun, experiencing, jumping towards things. You know, that type of vibe to it. And so it's interesting though, because I do want us to be careful, like starting certain things during the eclipse season is a little bit scary sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Because the eclipse energy, again, like I said before, like it's just not energy that you want to start or, you know, manifest anything because of the intensity of the eclipse energy. However, I think this is something that maybe we should kind of reflect on, that type of personality that we have, and why we feel that way, you know. But let's actually look at you know, what numerology.com says about the number five in numerology. A key characteristic of number five is curiosity and the need for variety of exciting experiences in order to feel fulfilled. Don't that sound like a Sagittarius, y'all? Woo-wee. Okay, it craves freedom and adventure and isn't afraid to let the wind carry it where it may. For the five, life isn't about setting goals and making plans. It's about getting out there and experimenting. Anything that stirs the senses pique the five's interest, and it can't wait to partake in the experience. The numerology number five is a master of change, ability to go with the flow and adapt itself to thrive in different environments and social situations. It is the happiest when things feel fresh, high energy, and full of possibility. The moment an experience starts to feel too routine or predictable, the five will move on to something more captivating. The only thing this number is truly attached to is being unattached. All right, you see that? You see what I'm talking about, right? So I think this is a good time for us to figure out, like, why do we feel so connected to an apartment? This is a good time to see where Sagittarius, or especially where this eclipse is in your chart, both whole sign wise and equal sign wise, but more so Placidus as well, because this is the part of you that's like this. You know what I mean? Five and Sag is like one and one. Like it's the same fucking thing right here, right? So I really feel that by reflecting on these energies, you get to have a better understanding of, you know, what is up, what is going on, and adding some kind of, again, practicality and logic, but more so practicality into our motivations, drive, and adventurous side. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's really important. Now, astrology wise, five is connected to Leo energy, right? And Leo energy is all about like self-expression and enjoying oneself, similar to that five energy, similar to that fire, but different, because that's one thing about Leo energy. They can stay fixated on something. They don't have to change from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. If they like something, they like it, they like it, they like it. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it is. And they can stay passionate and stay liking something for a very long time. And so I feel like this is also kind of telling us too, what's something that we can have relentless focus and interest in, you know, combining the vibe of Sag, of being mutable, of trying one thing and another thing and another thing and another thing. But until we get to that Leo 5 energy of wanting to stay put and really being comfortable with that thing, you know, even in like degree astrology, you know, five is connected to Leo energy, and it was connected to being very attractive and being it's actually connected to fame energy as well. And so yeah, like I feel like if you have the ability to actually stay focused on something that you are passionate about, you know, and as you're trying to figure that out, you're using that more Sag energy of jumping from one thing to another thing to another thing. But when you find that thing that has some staying power, you know, you can get that excitement and happiness and even some notoriety from it. You understand what I'm saying? So I think this is actually a huge reason why we are reflecting on this part of ourselves, you know. Tarot wise, The five card is connected to the Hierophant, which is interesting because the Hierophant is all about traditions and things that we've done in the past, and you know, studying that. Sag energy is actually all about like philosophies, beliefs, ideas, and cultures, and you know, trying different versions of different belief systems and religions and all that stuff, right? Seeing what the other people all around the world is interested in and seeing if it fits them. You know what I mean? People always say like Sages can't commit. Sages has to commit to something that they truly believe in and that will keep their interest. That's what it is. Sag, I understand why people don't think Sages Sages don't commit. I understand that energy. But one thing that I can say, I know a number of Sages. I've know of Sages too, who are like connected to a philosophy and belief. Again, Sagittarius energy is connected to a philosophy, belief, idea, culture, and religion. You know, you got to be devoted to that energy. But the reason why they're devoted is because they it always keeps them interested, and it's something that they really believe in, and something that they feel that is real. You understand what I'm saying? And so I feel that with the Hierophant energy, first of all, even though Hierophant is connected to Taurus energy because of the tradition, you know, when you think of Hierophant energy, you also think of Sag, because Sag has, you know, loves old information, old knowledge. They love the traditions. They love like ancient knowledge and all of that, right? And so you can't forget that part. But, you know, what a Sag has to do is to explore, to see like if something is worth committing to before they commit to it. You understand? And so I think that's the process that we're in right now, is exploring so we can figure out what we can commit to. It actually reminds me of the progression of Sagittarius to Capricorn, right? And I actually was talking about this when I was talking about Jupiter and Capricorn, because everyone's like, oh, Jupiter falls in Capricorn. No, this is going to be the worst ever. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way, y'all. How it is that like Jupiter is connected to Sag, of course. And how Jupiter works is like Jupiter is at its most optimal when you are or is actually used to working. Not the most optimal, but Jupiter is used to working like this. Oh, I'm just gonna go and try this out because I'm really passionate about it. And when I'm done, I'm done, and I'm gonna try something else. And by like just believing in themselves and the universe, they get a lot done. You know, that's why they're the most lucky signs, because they really let go and let God. When it comes to their passions, and passion is the most fastest energy, that's why it's connected to fire, right? And so they like let go and let God. However, the next sign is Capricorn. Capricorn is like, okay, you have to actually stay, pick something that you want to like drive home. You can't just keep jumping and jumping and jumping. Now, Capricorn energy is cardinal, so it's not telling you to stay fixated on something and just stay still. It's kind of like, do you want to actually see some shit get done? Pick something and go far with it. It kind of reminds me of that energy. We're in the process of the Sag of like trying this, that. But when we find that thing that we want to, that we feel that is worthy, that we can just drive home, that's where Capricorn comes through. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what I see there. What's beautiful, like I was saying before, is that like the advice card for Sagittarius is the Temperance card. The Temperance card's a 14 card, which 1 + 4 equals what? 5. Okay. And Temperance is really interesting. Temperance is all about balance. And I actually had an interesting conversation with a lot of people online or on Twitter about like, why does Sag have the Temperance? I feel like a lot of other signs, it makes sense because like they seem like they're card, right? However, one person explained it so perfectly, and I wish I remember their name. I can't think of their name right now because I have a horrible memory, but it's so annoying because I can see their picture in my head, so it's really frustrating. But she said that it's Sag's advice. It's the, you know, these major arcanas is the advice. or the sign. And I'm like, motherfucker, that makes so much sense. So it's like balancing, you know. People always suggest Sag to balance, instead of just always jumping and going when you feel like it, applying a little bit of responsibility and applying a little bit of passion, which is the Sag energy, and the responsibility is Capricorn energy, and also applying a little bit of that Scorpio energy of kind of just like staying put for a little bit because you have an emotional connection to it. Having that balance, and staying balanced instead of just jumping from one thing to another thing to another thing to another thing, can really help a Sag get into that super knowledgeable, super experienced, and like really get into that vibe of like being that person that people can go to that has all the knowledge, being that true guru energy, you know. The way to go get to that level, for anybody, especially a Sag, since they're so interested in it, is having that balance, you know. So I really thought that that was interesting. And so, you know, how I was explaining this whole situation, it actually makes sense, because what we're trying to do is balance things out. Right now, our hyper focus is in our karmic influence because the south node is conjunct the solar eclipse. And what we need to balance and what we need to focus on at the moment is the karmic influence that we have, and tie some things that we need to tie up so we could go ahead and push forward towards the north node, which is more Gemini energy. Okay, so that's what I see there. Now, like I feel like within that conversation, I pretty much talked about the south node conjunct the solar eclipse, and so I'm not gonna really talk that much about it. I said what I had to say, baby. I really did. So I'm going to, you know, move towards, you know, the solar eclipse actually being opposite the north node. So the north node's in Gemini, as we know. I'm actually transitioning to talking about aspects, okay? But North Node's in Gemini, as we know, right? And, you know, with the North Node being in Gemini, a big focus that we have is communication and our own thoughts. The one interesting thing about Sagittarius energy is two things, right? It's kind of other people's thoughts, right? It's philosophies, beliefs, ideas, and cultures and religions. So it's other people's understanding of God and the world and, you know, people, and kind of like us just going by it and living by it. And even if it's our thoughts, right? We're the one that are creating our own philosophies, beliefs, ideas, and religion and culture and all that stuff, right? It's kind of like this big lofty idea that we're like day by day finding ways to allow it to practically and logically work within ourselves, right? So it's still this whole like this big idea that, you know, that we are connected to, that we're trying to day by day live by. But with the Gemini energy, Gemini is kind of like your own thoughts, your own experiences, what you're used to, the influences that you have and lived, instead of the influences that you've heard about or listened about, or the influences that you've had to travel outside of yourself in order to understand. You know what I'm saying? Outside of what you're used to try to understand, because you have to think about, you know, the energy that is connected to Gemini. I know people don't like coinciding houses with signs, but it is what it is, what it is, what it is at the end of the day. You know, people like to coincide Gemini with the third house, you know. Third house is all about community, like what your community is, whatever the community is. It don't have to be locale, it could be whatever. And so with that being said, you know, it's kind of like where I came from and how I got my own thoughts. You know what I mean? How I was able to develop my communication style is that vibe. And so we are focusing on having our own say instead of like blindly focusing on this big lofty idea, even if it's from ourselves, even if it's from someone else. Kind of get into the details of why. Instead of just like, oh, this idea sounds good, let me just jump at it, right? But in order for us to, again, to be able to get to that level of kind of focusing on our experience and our thoughts and our communication style and everything, we have to be able to let go of philosophies, beliefs, ideas, and cultures that no longer serve us. We have to let go of that whole vibe that, oh, we need to experiment more. We need to see what's out there more. We need to jump and just try it out, you know? Gemini is connected to Mercury. It's about the details of things, you know what I mean? It's about thinking things out logically instead of just like feeling the passion and jumping towards it. And so we have to kind of work out that feeling first before we can get to our own thoughts and our own logic and what makes sense to us. You understand what I'm saying? And so it makes sense that we are actually working this karmic energy out and tying loose ends here, you know? What's also happening too is that this solar eclipse is conjunct Mercury, and it's an applying conjunction, which is interesting. And so with that energy, Mercury is Sag, Mercury falls here. And so one thing that I'm a little bit concerned about this conjunction is it's weird when I notice about, that Mercury energy, no matter what sign, is going to come through. So generally Mercury is connected to like being detail oriented and communicative and things like that, right? Like one thing I can say for sure is that like people who have sun conjunct Mercury and is in Sag, like even though the sun falls and the Mercury falls in Sag, they still have that mercurial vibe to them, right? So we can't deny that type of energy. However, it still deals with that fall energy in the sense of a lot of their ideas and a lot of their mind is just big picture. That's how they think. They think through their passion and they think big picture. What I'm a little concerned about with this is like, what's happening is, you know that you need to think deeper within something. You know that you have to kind of focus on the details of something. But man, this like big idea that you have is just so amazing. You just want to jump at it. This is why I want people to be careful. Like for some reason in my head, I've been thinking about this throughout this whole podcast recording. It's like somebody being like, oh, but I really, really want to go to Thailand so bad. And they're like, nowhere near Thailand. I'm just going to go. Right. And then they end up getting sick. I'm not saying that Thailand is where you're going to get sick. It might be just for the fucking plane. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you end up getting caught up somehow. And so like you had this big idea and it was great. And you see the details in front of you. You see even inside your mind. It's kind of like, should I be traveling around this time? What should I be doing? And then like you ignore it because this is big, this dream, this idea that you have. I definitely see that happening because this next aspect I'm going to talk about, Neptune is squaring all this shit too. Neptune is squaring Mercury and the eclipse, right? And what happens with Neptune squares is disillusionment, especially with Neptune being in Pisces. We're being disillusioned with our ideas and what we want, when we want to take actions and what our own emotions are. And so we're just really big picture. We're just dreaming things up. We're being creative. It's a beautiful thing, but this could lead to disillusionment. And then the practicality is gone. Like I was mentioning before, there is a T-square happening here. The missing leg is Virgo. Virgo is the king and queen of practicality and detail and putting things together and making it make sense on the earthly realm. You understand what I'm saying? And so that is kind of like where the muck could happen. Just dreaming a dream and all these other energies that will bring logic and practicality into your life is it's kind of fucking the whole shit up. So you have to be really careful, especially because this Neptune energy is also squaring North Node in Gemini. That Gemini energy helping us be more aware of our thoughts. So I see that there for sure. Lastly,
lastly, this energy is trine Mars, which is like, it sounds great, but chaotic as fuck, because we're coming from a disillusioned vibe. This energy is really weird. Our fucking luminaries are dark, so we don't know what the fuck's going on. But Mars, Mars trining a fucking sun in Sag and a moon in Sag, child, listen, okay, Lord, this energy is pushing us to be more motivated and driven to the things that we want to do, especially with this Mars being in Aries. We want to do it, and we want to do it fucking now. We're gonna do it fucking now, you know. It's kind of like that vibe. And so, again, I feel like these are plans that we've already made. This trine is a separating trine. You know, so these are ideas that are already being made. I can see, because Mercury and Mars are at an exact trine during this eclipse. You know, now we're thinking like, should I have done that? I don't know, maybe. It kind of in that vibe. But, you know, we've already kind of made the plans and had the idea of wanting to do something. And so we're going for it. And we're taking the necessary steps to get into this dream that we've had. And the dream depends on where this eclipse energy is in your chart, you know. And so, you know, just be careful, guys. Don't haphazardly jump into stuff, because right now, a lot of our actions, a lot of our emotions, a lot of our mind is a bit disillusioned with that Neptune square, okay? But we are motivated and ready to get things popping. We should turn that motivation into being motivated to taking action on the intuitive clues on what we should focus on, instead of us actually taking action and jumping into shit, because again, we're disillusioned a little bit. You know what I'm saying? All right. So, I mean, another thing I could talk about too, to be honest, you know, this eclipse is also semi-sextile Pluto. Pluto's in Capricorn. We're being empowered by authority. We're being empowered by having authority and control within ourselves, and allowing authority to have control over us to some people, right? But it's a semi-sextile. Semi-sextiles are funny. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of learning opportunity. The opportunity of learning is not as like difficult and harsh, but it's still like you got a lot to learn. And so I feel like what's going to happen here is things are you're going to go and jump at something. You're going to learn a harsh lesson. The lesson's not going to be too harsh, like a square type of harsh lesson, but it's going to be harsh in a sense where it's like, oh wow, shit could have really fucked up. Thank God I was tripping. It kind of gives me that vibe. So be aware of that. You know, Pluto energy is all about transformative energy, and you know that transformation could be a little bit deep, so just be careful, okay? So yeah, like I said before, pretty much talked about it a little bit aspect wise but you know, this T-square is happening with the eclipse in Mercury, North Node, and Neptune. So you know, be aware of that. The gang, we're going to be able to talk about that a little bit later when y'all want to. And then actually I'm going to talk about it in the community group that I have on my website. Okay, guys, if you're listening, I know you are listening. Then there's some fixed stars that are conjunct this eclipse as well. I'm probably pronouncing this terribly. Lasath and Galactic Center. All right, so there's that. And then, you know, guys, if you guys want me to go through the houses, this is for my cosmic gang. I'll go through the houses with you, through the eclipses and stuff like that. All right. Anywho, that's what I have for you guys. I hope this was cool. I hope you liked it or whatever. Let me know if you have any questions. What I'm going to do is I'm going to post this on my website on the blog. So if you have questions, if you want to chat it up, you know, we'll chat it up. However, if you have personal questions on how this eclipse is going to affect you, I'm not answering that. That's for gang only, okay? Gang only. All right? All right. Peace.